Support for the Morning Show comes from the Carthage College Office of Continuing Studies, providing graduate and accelerated certification programs in education to start or advance a career in teaching. Convenient evening and summer courses are designed for the working adult. More information available at carthage.edu/grad. Support also comes from Andrea's, a Kenosha tradition since 1911. A unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. And don't forget about Jack's Cafe. Andrea's, 2401 60th Street, online at andreasgifts.com. And we welcome you to the Friday Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. This delightful music is the opening to the Piano Concerto No. 2 of Russian composer Dmitri Shostakovich. It is one of the most entertaining piano concertos of the 20th century, for sure. And it is a rare treat for people to be able to enjoy it this weekend live in a concert by the Kenosha Symphony Orchestra. And on the stage, in the spotlight, as piano soloist for this performance, will be a graduate student at Carthage College, Panpan Wang. And I'm so glad that Panpan Wang is here in our studio, along with her teacher, Deb Maslovsky. And she's going to be telling us a little about her life with the piano, and we'll talk a little bit about this specific piano work as well. So, Panpan Wang and Deb Maslovsky, Assistant Professor of Music at Carthage, we welcome both of you to the Morning Show.
Great to be here.
Yeah, me too. Great to be here.
So glad that we can have this conversation. Deb, could you just say a word about your relationship with Panpan Wang? We were just talking about it before we went on the air, and I just think it's important for people to know sort of the significance of the relationship and connection between the two of you.
Well, it has many facets, I would say. It's not just student-teacher relationship, but I've enjoyed my journey with Panpan at Carthage. It, we've learned from each other and together and had a lot of wonderful conversations about education in China and what the strengths are, strengths and weaknesses, I would say, as well as education in the United States. And had some really good conversations about that. And I think she's incorporated some of those conversations into her thesis as well. We've traveled together. She's become like a second daughter to me. In fact, we've traveled with my own daughter and Panpan and explored China and the culture there and performed together in China. So, I don't know, lots of wonderful facets to our relationship.
That's terrific, and that makes such a difference, doesn't it? So, Panpan Wang, when did you begin playing the piano? And I'm also curious to know if this is something you wanted, or was this maybe something your mom and dad wanted you to do?
Yeah, this is an interesting question. I started playing piano when I was 6 years old. And when I was a little child, I enjoyed singing and I loved music. My mom, she likes piano, but unfortunately, she had no opportunity to learn it. So she chose this instrument for me, but I love it.
And so how old would you have been when you started piano? How old?
6 years old.
6 years old. Mm-hmm. Well, no wonder you play it so beautifully now. You've had a long time.
Thank you.
Do you enjoy listening to great pianists? I mean, listening to the recordings of great pianists. And if you do, do you have some favorite pianists that you especially enjoyed listening to?
Yes, of course. I like listening to recordings of a great pianist. And there are too many great pianists. My favorite one is Horowitz.
Ah!
And the most prestigious pianist in the world. And I love his romantic repertoire. Martha Argerich.
Oh, yeah.
She is amazing. Mm. But now I tend to listen more and more young artists' recordings. I can also learn something different and unique interpretations of music, like Yu Jiawang.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Very good. So you listen quite a lot then. That's important. There's a lot that you can learn. Do you listen a lot, Demislavsky, to recordings of great pianists? And
oh,
do you have favorites?
Sure. I listen to, Marta Argerich has always been one of my favorite pianists as well. And I listen to many, many different recordings of artists. Yeah.
There's a lot to learn in there. I think it's interesting, as a voice teacher, I think there's a couple of different schools of thought. To some extent, voice teachers sometimes discourage young singers from listening to too many recordings because there sometimes is a tendency for a young singer to try to sound like that great singer who's typically much older and maybe has a voice that's very different. And, of course, we want a young singer to sing with their own voice. And of course, a pianist or any instrumentalist, they're not apt to try to do that. And so there isn't, in a sense, that sort of pitfall.
Mm-hmm. Although I do think there is a lot of emulating happening in the piano as well.
Sure.
That's something that pianists from China do very well. So I sometimes discourage students from China to listen, maybe in the early stages of learning a piece especially, kind of develop their own ideas and interpretation, and then maybe listen later. So they're not influenced so much directly at the beginning of studying a piece.
Own.
Yeah, it kind of depends on the student, but I do tend to discourage listening with certain types of students because of that same reason. Yeah.
Right. Pan Wang, do you have favorite composers for the piano? I mean, that is, I guess what I'm really asking is, do you have favorite music that you most love to play on the piano?
Yes, my favorite composer is Alexander Scriabin.
Ah.
I have played his Fantasy Sonata, Opus 19, number 2, last year. I feel like his music is mysterious and subtle, delicate. He would imagine the color when he's composing.
Mm.
So I like his music.
Yeah, Alexander Scriabin. Mm-hmm. He's another Russian composer.
Yes.
Yeah, very good. So tell us about the challenges and pleasures of playing the Shostakovich Piano Concerto No. 2, which is, of course, the work that you're going to be playing with the Kenosha Symphony on Saturday night. And then we'll talk a little more about, and we'll play at least one more excerpt from it. But what have you found most interesting and challenging and fun about playing this work?
This piece is full of energy, and it has a lot of fun and excitement. The most challenge is, for me, is some technical things. For example, the third movement, it has a Hannon patterns, and I used to play the Hannon on the black key, on the white
white keys.
Sorry.
That's okay. No, that's good. No. Used to play them on the. You played on the white keys.
Yes, I only played on the white key and different patterns, but it has some other keys like black key and
kind of a mix. so that makes it tricky. It's like familiar, but it's different. Both.
Yes.
Yeah, it's interesting that Pan brings this up because Shostakovich wrote this concerto for his own son, Maxim, for his 19th birthday,
ah.
And Maxim premiered this work when he graduated from the Moscow Conservatory. So I think this work shows that Dmitri Shostakovich had a good sense of family humor, a sense of humor in general. I think you can hear that when you listen to the third movement, because any pianist who's logged in hours practicing Hannon recognizes immediately that these are fragments of Hannon-esque type of exercises.
Right. So. And for the sake of any listeners who don't know exactly what we're talking about, Hannon, that's H-A-N-O-N, I think, right?
Right.
These would be famous exercise books that many, many pianists have played. And so not all piano teachers use it, but many teachers have used them. One of my own piano teachers did. And so these would be exercises you would be expected to practice during the week and often play in your lessons as well. And,
that's right.
And they're not exactly pieces of music themselves.
No, not at all. Yeah. But I didn't tell Pan Pan that's why I picked this concerto for her. I wanted to make sure she was practicing her Hannon exercises.
There you go. So in other words, Shostakovich is actually quoting some of those Hannon exercises in this piece, but there's little differences which make it even more tricky then. You mentioned that it's fun, and of course the opening of the concerto that we listened to a little earlier really shows that. But I want to just for a moment play a little bit of one of the really lovely moments from this this concerto, when we hear something a little more lyrical and melodic. So again, this is a little bit of Dmitri Shostakovich's Piano Concerto Number 2. I just hate to interrupt such lovely music. This is from the second movement of Shostakovich's Piano Concerto Number 2. This is one of the works played Saturday night by the Kenosha Symphony and by one of my morning show guests, Pan Pan Wang, and her teacher from Carthage, Deb Mislavsky, is in the studio as well. We are talking about this. That is gorgeous, gorgeous music. A lot of this concerto, as we said before, is really fun-loving and energetic, but there's this beautiful moment in the middle where right. Pan-Pan can show off another side of her artistry.
It's really a beautiful dramatic center and probably one of my favorite slow movements. It's hauntingly beautiful.
It's so exquisite.
And the opening string chorale, and it starts in minor, but when the piano comes in, it's in major, and it's like the sun coming, like when it breaks through the clouds, you know, it's just magical. Mm. It's a wonderful opportunity that she'll have to play this.
That's neat. Pan-Pan Wang, have you played with orchestra before, or will this be your first time?
I have played with the Carthage Philharmonic,
yes, okay. No, that's good. The Carthage Philharmonic, yep. What did you play with them?
The first movement of Shostakovich concerto.
Oh, of this same piece.
Right.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's right. I'd forgotten that now. So now this will be your first time to play the horn. And then otherwise, just those two occasions you've played with orchestra then.
Yes.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And I understand that you've already had one rehearsal with the Kenosha Symphony.
Mm-hmm.
And how did that go? Was that exciting?
Yes, it's really exciting. Yes, I learned how to listen and fit in the part where the part the orchestra is important and where my part is important.
Yeah, that's important. Yes, and of course to get this all to fit together just right.
Yes.
And so you'll get to rehearse with them one more time, mm-hmm. and then of course the concert is Saturday night, which is of course going to be so exciting. What was it like for you? I assume you were there for the rehearsal.
Yes,
must be incredibly exciting and slash terrifying. I don't know to be sitting in the audience and see a moment like that unfold. How did you think it went from your perspective?
I thought it went really very well. It's nice to have a set of ears when things change. The piano's different, the acoustics are different than Carthage, the orchestra's different.
And right.
So just to have someone listening for balance and, maybe if the, piano has a strong bass, maybe she needs to bring that treble part out, things like that.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful hall, isn't it?
It is beautiful. I expected it to be more like a typical high school auditorium.
Yeah,
it's very beautiful.
Yeah, it's a gem. And did it feel like a nice room in which to play?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. We want to mention also that Saturday night's concert features one of the great symphonies of the 19th century, the Fifth Symphony of another Russian composer, Peter Tchaikovsky. So two wonderful Russian masterworks are featured on this concert Saturday night. Pan-Pan Wang, before we let you go, I wonder if you could just say a word about, and Deb, chime in, please, how did you find your way from China over here to Carthage College? How did that happen?
Because my Chinese piano teacher, his recommendation, so I get to know this Carthage College, and I search on Google, and it was really beautiful, and and especially the Michigan Lake.
Yeah.
Yeah, it attracted me a lot.
Yeah. So how many years have you been at Carthage?
This is the second. No,
Two years.
You've been here 2 years. So,
yes.
And what do you hope to do when you are done at Carthage? What do you want to do with your life?
I really want to become a piano teacher and teach little kids.
And are you planning to go back to China, or are you thinking you might stay in the United States, or don't you know yet?
I don't know yet. I'm probably back to China because my parents miss me a lot.
I'm sure they do, and I suppose you miss them too.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's been delightful to have this opportunity to speak with you and to find out a bit more about your musical life. Do you graduate now from Carthage in May?
Yes, I will graduate in May.
Ah. Well, we wish you well with all that is going to stretch before you. And in the meantime, we will listen to the joyous last few moments of the Shostakovich Piano Concerto No. 2, which is going to be performed Saturday evening as part of the Kenosha Symphony's concert called From Russia with Love. And you can go to the Kenosha Symphony's website, kenoshasymphony.org, for more information on how to come and enjoy this concert, which will include Pan Pan Wang playing the second Shostakovich piano concerto. By the way, if any of you have seen the wonderful animated film Fantasia 2000, which was the sequel to Walt Disney's groundbreaking Fantasia, there is a scene in Fantasia 2000 which is an extended excerpt from the Shostakovich second piano concerto.
It's the Steadfast Tin Soldier excerpt.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. Yes.
I absolutely love that. And this prompts me to want to go home and take out my DVD and watch that, enjoy it again. And I'm going to be there Saturday night. And I am looking forward very much to seeing you on that stage. Pan Pan Wang, thank you so much for being here. And Deb Maslovsky as well. Great to have both of you here to be part of the morning show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And here are the last few moments, the exciting final moments of Shostakovich's Piano Concerto No. 2. Played by Pan Pan Wang and the Kenosha Symphony with their conductor, Bob Hasty, Saturday night, beginning at 7:30 at Reuther High School Auditorium. The time is 8:32. You're listening to the Friday Morning Show on WGTD HD, your gateway to public radio. For this portion of WGTD's Morning Show, I'm with Matt Barese, who is my colleague for the Opera Workshop at Carthage, here to talk about Giancarlo Menotti and what people can expect if they are able to take in our two performances of The Magic of Menotti, celebrating a 20th century operatic master. The performances are Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock or Monday evening, May 1st, at 7 o'clock in Siebert Chapel. So, Matt Barese, tell us why you are so excited about this particular opera workshop at Carthage.
Well, what's exciting pedagogically and also I think for the audiences about doing Menotti is obviously he has a very Italian name and was born in Italy, but he largely grew up in the United States and wrote most of his work in the United States. And it is fairly new work. Everything that we're performing, they're all from one-act operas written between about 1939 and about 1954. In operatic terms, that's quite green.
Yesterday.
And they were written in English, and they are so contemporary that many of them premiered in more contemporary forms of media than just the stage. Some of them played on Broadway. The Old Maid and the Thief premiered on the radio. The Medium had one of its earliest performances on television. So these are things that were written very much for 20th century audiences and for the 20th century with 20th century pacing and 20th century subject matter involved. So for the audience, you're going to really see things. It won't be all, you know, kings and queens and poisonings. You'll see contemporary issues. And for the students, that means they can use more contemporary, more naturalistic acting style and perhaps relate to the work with less mental wrangling than they might have to do with something from 1650.
And the other nice thing is, even though it's modern in many of its approaches, musically, it's actually sort of old-fashioned in the best sense of the word. I mean, very romantic sounding. This is not biting modern music in the sort of the scary sense of the word.
Yeah, when you say 20th century opera, sometimes you can say, oh, well, I'm going to be in for a night of music that sounds like crockery being thrown down the stairs. But this is very tonal. There are numbers, you know, there are songs that sound like songs. So you can
feel his sort of Italian heritage in his 20th century American writing, because it still maintains some of the lyricality and musicality and discrete numbers of, say, Puccini, but does it in the mid-20th century, where many of his contemporaries would have been writing music that does not set welt on the ear.
And that was Matt Baresi, who is the stage director for the opera workshop at Carthage College, and the stage director for the production that is this weekend, Saturday afternoon at 3 and Monday night at 7 o'clock, called The Magic of Menotti, celebrating a 20th century operatic master. It is all music of Giancarlo Menotti, one of the leading opera composers of the 20th century. And excerpts will be featured from a number of his different works. We have some very talented singers assembled for the opera workshop, including two young ladies who are both seniors. So this is, for each of them, their swan song in terms of opera workshop at Carthage. Olivia Wallace and Mary Catherine Bach. They have been an active part of the opera workshop, each from their freshman year, actually. So they have a lot of experiences they can look back on, and we're going to talk with them for the next few minutes about this, and we will, I hope, even hear a little of their singing. So, Olivia Wallace, Mary Catherine Bach, we welcome both of you to the morning show.
Thank you so much. Yeah, happy to be here.
glad you can do this. Let's find out a little bit about how much each of you even knew about opera or were excited about opera before you came to Carthage. Was this already kind of a big musical love of your respective lives, or is this something you only came to really love once you got here? Let's start with Olivia.
Well, I had never been in an opera until I had the opportunity to be in Gianni Schicchi my freshman year, J-term. And I'd been in musicals growing up my whole life, from Les Miserables to The Legend of Tarzan on stage, the musical. So being in my first opera was really exciting because I never felt like my voice fit in music theater. So being in opera was a great opportunity for me to bring my acting skills and voice training to the table, an amazing opportunity, which is why I'm so happy I chose Carthage, because I got to be in a show right away.
Right. If you'd gone to a larger place, you would have waited around a long, long time to experience what you experienced here. So in other words, you enjoyed being in musical theater, but vocally, in terms of your voice, it didn't feel like it's quite a comfortable fit.
Absolutely. I had so much fun doing all of the shows and being properties and crew head and everything, and I love the experience of the theater, and those were the best memories I had of high school. However, I couldn't find a better home than being in operas because of the musical fit.
Yeah, it's where you belong. Mary Catherine Bach, who also happens to be from Racine. Olivia's from someplace in Michigan, I think.
Detroit, yeah.
Detroit, Michigan. Mary Kate is from right up the road in Racine. Where did you go to high school?
Racine Lutheran.
Oh, okay. And tell us what your operatic experience was before coming to Carthage.
Sure. I started taking voice lessons in high school around my sophomore year, and that was about the time when I started to get into opera, and I really loved it. I had only been in one musical prior to college, so when I came to Carthage, I knew I wanted to do opera. I knew it was what I loved. I was studying art songs and a few arias, and coming into Carthage, I was able to use the knowledge, and workshop is just such a great way for me to be a part of an opera and have the experience and sing the roles and do the things that I love to do.
Hmm. I guess for both of you, your initial, at least complete roles at opera at Carthage were in the opera Gianni Schicchi, mm-hmm. that Olivia already mentioned. And I suppose for both of you, that might have been quite a memorable experience in that you were in a show that was so hilariously funny. And I suspect for somebody who wasn't all that experienced in opera, that was probably a revelation to you that opera could be as funny as it mm-hmm. was with Johnny Skeet.
Absolutely. I just remember the jokes we still have from the cast from our freshman year, that we got to bring so much physical comedy to the stage, and I learned so much acting-wise, and I never thought I'd be in an opera where I would tell my friends and be excited, like, hey, come see my opera.
And I think you'll like it.
Yes. It was definitely a treat.
Right. And Mary-Kate, you had that experience as well, and you were actually double cast with an upperclassman mm-hmm. In the role of Lauretta. So you had, in a sense, kind of a double-barrel learning experience in terms of not just doing it, but also seeing an older soprano do your same role.
Yeah, that was very helpful because she did things a little differently from me, and she was a senior at the time, and I was just a little freshman, so the age difference, even though it's not that big, was tremendous, and just different techniques, and everyone was just so welcoming mm-hmm. and so inviting in the cast and the faculty that it was just really easy to get along with everyone and to work well with everyone.
Yay. Well, that was a fun experience. Again, that was Puccini's Johnny Skeeky several years ago. Among other high points for both of you was big roles that you had in Mozart's The Marriage of Figaro, mm-hmm. Olivia in the soprano lead of Susanna, and Mary-Kate in the trouser role of Carabino, the page boy. And I know for both of you that was a lot of work, and I hope a lot of fun. What are your recollections of The Marriage of Figaro?
I loved it. Carabino was perhaps my favorite role. He's just such a sprightly character, and I had to have a lot of fun with him. I'm usually singing roles where I'm on the floor dying, but it was just such a change of pace, and it was just wonderful, and I loved the opera, and I loved doing it, and I'm really proud of what we put on.
Right. How about you? What are your memories of The Marriage of Figaro? I suspect they're not all completely pleasant memories, actually.
Well, the fact that I got to say that I played Susanna is something I never thought I would be able to say after learning about how pivotal the role was and how ground-shaking it was for this role, that this strong female lead challenged the status quo in the time that it was written, that I learned in your mm-hmm. Opera history class, actually. That, but my voice actually gave out a week before open, and I couldn't sing for an entire week, and I couldn't talk, and we actually had to move the date of the performance because we didn't have a understudy,
right?
Because it's such a small department.
Right.
So we had an underclassman come in, Angie Yu, to sing the role while I was on stage mouthing it, and then we moved the performance to Tuesday, and I sought as much medical help as possible, and we got to do the show, and I'm so proud of what we got to do. It was our first time with real costumes mm-hmm. and a set, and that is one of my fondest memories of Carthage. Hmm.
Glad to hear it. We're going to talk now about the workshop that's going on right now. Again, the performances will be tomorrow. That is Saturday at 3 in the afternoon. And again, on Monday night at 7 in Siebert Chapel, all devoted to the music of Giancarlo Minotti, and one of the most popular opera composers of the 20th century. I don't think either of you knew a whole lot about Minotti before this semester, a little bit. You'd probably gotten your feet wet with a couple mm-hmm. of little things, but what's been your experience with singing his music? Is this something you've enjoyed?
I enjoy it a great deal. I think his style is very fun as well as serious. I like that it's difficult, but it's palatable. You can go and see the opera and you'll understand what's going on and you'll laugh and you'll cry, and it's just very personable to the audience. And as a performer, that's really important to me.
Absolutely, that's well put.
Well said. definitely well said. During rehearsals, when we watch the other people doing their other scenes, we laugh even though we've seen it 10 times. We still laugh, and I think it says a lot about him, and learning about his biography before really got us to understand why he would have written some things the way that he did. And my role being in the medium has been such an eye-opening experience for me as an actress, because it's such a dark role that I've had to play, but it's also very complex, and my character is also so bright at the same time as being in a dark situation, and it's been the hardest acting role that I've ever had the opportunity to do, and the music is just so fit for a soprano. It's so fun to sing. It's been a treat.
Glad to hear it. So we are going to be sampling a number of different Menotti operas in this production, again called The Magic of Menotti, and we're going to have each of you sing a little something. Mary Kate, you're actually have a part in excerpts from two things. I have the Amal score right here. We'll have you sing a little something from Amal in a moment. But say a word about the opera The Consul, in which you're going to sing a short scene as the character of Magda Sorel. This is a really timely opera in some respects. Just give our listeners a little sense of what that opera is about.
Sure. The Consul is the woman of Magda. She is going to a bureaucratic building, and she's speaking with the secretary over and over and over. She's a refugee from another country, and she's trying to be reunited with her husband, John, although all of the bureaucracy is keeping her away from her husband, and she's living in poverty, and she is fearful for the safety of her life and her child and her mother-in-law. It ends up tragically, unfortunately. It's a really heart-wrenching story about the terror that government can bring on people who just want to be reunited with their family.
Mm. Yeah, you really think about the plight of a refugee when you think about this story, and your scenes with Laura Smith as the secretary, the kind of unfeeling, cold secretary, are really powerful. And then, as sort of a last-minute thought, we actually ended up adding several brief excerpts from Menotti's most popular opera, Amal and the Night Visitors. And so you were willing to take on the role of learning the mezzo role of the mother of Amal, this crippled boy. And I thought it would be interesting for us to hear a little of this, of the aria called All That Gold. Do you just want to say a quick word about what happens in this aria, why the mother sings it?
Sure. If you don't know, Amal and Night Visitors is a Christmas story. The mother and her son Amal live in a house, and one night the three wise men come to their door seeking shelter. So the wise men stay in her home, and they throw a party, and there's festivities and liveliness, and the mother and Amal are poor, and they're not used to such extravagant things. And so as they go to sleep that night, the mother wakes up and is staring at all this gold, and all she can think of is how she could help her son live a better life with just even a morsel, even one piece of that gold. And these wise men have so much.
That's a beautifully spoken introduction. So let's have you sing All That Gold. Why don't you come over here, maybe to right about here or so. So this is All That Gold from Amal and the Night Visitors by John Carlo Menotti.
Do they know how to milk a clover fendel? take some. They'll never miss it. For my child. For my child. For my child. For my child.
All right, that was All That Gold from A Mall in the Night Visitors, sung by Mary Catherine Bach. That's a pretty cool aria, isn't it? And so interesting to think about trying to put yourself in the shoes of somebody so different from you. And I suppose that's one of the fun things about being in any kind of theater, is trying to become somebody that you aren't.
Yeah, exactly. And especially, she's a mother, and I am not a mother. I asked my mom, I said, Mom, how would you feel in this situation?
Mm. So. Yeah, you get to really use your imagination, and you sing it beautifully.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And Olivia Wallace, she has the opportunity to sing two excerpts from the opera The Medium as the role of Monica. And The Medium refers to a woman who conducts seances, and of course they're bogus seances. Say a word about Monica, who lives with this older woman, Baba, who's known as the medium.
So the medium, Baba, is my mother, and Monica lives a very sheltered life. Participating in the production of these seances, helping her mother fool these people to make a living, and they also live with this urchin, perhaps, that came off of the street that Baba took in, and his name is Toby, and he's a mute boy, probably 5 years older than Monica, and they have a really lovely relationship, and they just care for each other so much, and they both live together with this partially unstable woman, and they get together in life through this. While Monica loves her mother very much, it is an unstable relationship of the kind of life that they lead. Mm-hmm.
Very nice. So you sing actually what amounts to two arias, and shall we do the one with the puppet show, or do you want to sing the other? Okay, so come on over here. So this aria is known as Monica's Waltz, and so she's watching her friend Toby do this entertaining little puppet show, and then they continue to work together, but Toby, remember, is a mute, and so this is Monica kind of reaching out to her friend Toby. They dance together, and then Toby begins pulling away, feeling very strong feelings for Monica, and not knowing if they're correct or not, and of course unable to say them himself. This has really proven, as you said, to be a really interesting acting challenge for you, hasn't it?
Absolutely. I sing for two people, and I'm putting words in my friend Toby's mouth that I think he is trying to communicate with me. And so on stage, I'm mimicking and speaking for what I believe that he's saying. And I think it's really beautiful because at the very end, I mean, as you'll hear, the line is, Toby, I want you to know, you have the most beautiful voice in the world.
Mm. Here it is. This is called Monica's Waltz.
voice.
Don't talk to me like that. Don't you know who I am? I'm the queen of Arendelle. I shall have you put to chains. You are my princess. You are my queen. And I'm only to be one of your slaves. I loved you, Monica. I always loved you. With all my breath, with all my blood. I love your laughter. I love your hair. I love your deep and nocturnal eyes. I love your soft tongue, so white and winged. I love this little branch of you. Don't speak to me like that. You make my heart swim. Monica, Monica, fold me in your satin gown. Monica, Monica, give me your love. Monica, Monica, all I want. Why, Toby?
Monica's Waltz from The Medium by Giancarlo Minotti, Olivia Wallace, before we heard from Mary Catherine Bach. Ladies, thank you for joining me, and thanks for all you've given to the Opera Workshop program here at Carthage. We're going to miss both of you, but we're glad we could have all of this wonderful experience together. And best wishes with whatever comes ahead for you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Olivia Wallace and Mary Catherine Bach, the performances of The Magic of Minotti, celebrating a 20th century operatic master, will be tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock, and also Monday evening, that's the 1st of May, at 7 o'clock in Siebert Chapel. The performances are free and open to the public. And of course, there's all kinds of other things going on this weekend as well, including the opening night performances of A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum at the University of Wisconsin Parkside, The Mystery of Edwin Drood at Carthage College. Kenosha Unified talented students are going to be presenting The Hunchback of Notre Dame. And tomorrow night, the Kenosha Symphony Orchestra is in concert with pianist Pan Pan Wang, whom you heard from in part one of today's program. And out at the University of Wisconsin Parkside, performances of the great masterwork, The German Requiem of Johannes Brahms. So enjoy all the great music and theater that is in store this weekend here in southeastern Wisconsin.